The Tucson Botanical Gardens is a study in contrasts. Birdsong mingles with traffic noise. Morning doves coo over the sounds of a, well, nearby grocery store loading dock. The gardens represent a rare oasis in a sea of Midtown noise. Thousands of visitors stroll its paths each year, taking in a wide variety of flora. Some of those plants at the botanical gardens are native to desert regions, which means they're not very resistant to cold. So in a winter like this one, with several sub-freezing cold snaps, garden staff take extra care to make sure exposed plants are protected.
I'm Michael Chamberlain. I'm the director of horticulture at the Tucson Botanical Gardens.
He describes the process of protecting hundreds of plants from the chill.
We cover plants with fabric, and that gives them a layer of protection. It creates a tent over them, and that'll keep them warm, a little bit warmer. It'll add about 5 degrees of temperature protection using a standard blanket on a plant. To give it even more protection, adding a second blanket, or ultimately putting a source of heat underneath that blanket is going to be the best way to get the plant through the cold. And that source of heat, one of the easiest ways is to use a lamp.
But not all of the plants can be covered effectively. Imagine trying to drape a blanket over a giant saguaro. Chamberlain says some of the largest and most sensitive species at the gardens end up spending part of the winter in the greenhouse.
Some examples of that are adeniums, the desert rose. They're from southern parts of Saudi Arabia and other very warm regions. Never see any freeze, or very unlikely, in their habitat. But they're very popular plants. They've been bred to have big red, pink flowers, so they're quite popular. They grow well here in Tucson, but they just cannot take our winters. Fortunately, those plants are very easy to overwinter. You can put them inside, put them in a dark spot, and they'll just be dormant through the wintertime.
According to Chamberlain, garden staff will start wrapping some of the plants hours before nightfall just to get a head start. The fabric is wrapped loosely around the plant, just enough that it holds heat in, but still lets indirect sunlight reach the plant. We head over to a large cactus, the kind that isn't cold tolerant and could die if it isn't wrapped. Michael Chamberlain unfolds a large white fabric sheet.
This fabric is made for agricultural purposes, but the same fabric can be purchased in many stores that have a section for growing plants. And this fabric, it allows light to shine through it. And the advantage of that is after you cover a plant, you can leave it covered for a matter of weeks or even potentially a month, and the plant will still receive sunlight through the fabric. Now, you can use many other kinds of fabric. You can use old sheets, you can use old clothing, you can use blankets, but a white fabric like this is best for use over extended periods because of the way that the sun will shine through it. This is larger than we would actually need for this plant, but it does the job.
The idea is to wrap the plants for nightfall, keep them wrapped in the overnight hours, and then unwrap them when the sun comes out the next day. The Tucson Botanical Gardens is a public place, so the last thing Chamberlain says he wants is for people to arrive and see many of the plants covered up. In fact, several people are admiring a large aloe while we talk. After they move on, Chamberlain approaches it. He notes that it's one of the plants that just can't take the cold.
These are some aloe plants. They're from Yemen, where they would not experience the kind of cold that we had. Since they're winter blooming, we made the extra effort to cover them and also place lamps under the covers to keep them happy and to keep them blooming at this time.
Not all is well in this part of the gardens. Chamberlain suddenly spots a specimen that looks like it's dying.
We're going to look at this Eisenhardia tree over here, and the leaves have been desiccated. They have turned brittle. So that's what happens. And this plant typically would keep its leaves through the winter, but also it's adapted to being frozen, and it will grow back.
We stroll over to the cactus garden, where an astonishing array of succulents are planted. Some are Sonoran Desert natives, saguaro, cholla, agave. Others are foreign, like the alien-looking bujum tree from Baja California. But as Michael Chamberlain says, all seem to thrive at the botanic gardens, despite occasional cold spells. Later, we sit by one of the garden's many water fountains, and Chamberlain reflects on the many ways flora reveals whether it's been damaged. But overall, he predicts less mortality at the Botanic Gardens this year than 2 years ago. That's when a cold spell sent overnight lows plummeting into the teens.
The damage on some plants will be visible immediately. Some plants, such as cacti, will take longer to show that they've been damaged. But then understanding the extent of the damage will take longer because the plant needs to start regrowing for you to know just how badly it's been impacted.
The birds at Tucson Botanical Gardens go quiet as nightfall descends, but the nearby street noise continues. It'll be a mild night with low temperatures forecasted to be near 50, but a cold front is coming in for the weekend and lows could drop to near freezing. The staff at the gardens has plenty of bags for wrapping plants. They say they'll be ready. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.